time for Richard Fitzwilliams, our film critic and reviewer. Good afternoon, Richard. How are you?
I'm well indeed, and so happily is the Duke of Edinburgh, according to the latest bulletin.
And it was a planned operation. It was a hip replacement, I believe.
Yes, and apparently he'd been uncomfortable for a month. So all is well, and we naturally hope that he'll be out of hospital as soon as possible.
It takes a while to recuperate from one of those, though, doesn't it, I think? I've never had one, but I know people who have, and it takes a bit of getting used to.
Yes, and the Queen Mother did twice in her 90s.
Yeah.
So that was amazing. So things sound as if they're going well.
I was hearing on news yesterday that around 800 people a year, on average, in their 90s, have hip replacements. So it's quite common in some respects. But so we wish him all the very best, because he's got a busy year, hasn't he, with weddings and births.
Indeed he does. And on the subject of royalty, we have the Crown with the nominations at this year's TV BAFTAs. It's got three,
yep,
including leading actress for Claire Foy, supporting actress for Vanessa Kirby. No question that for drama series it may well win. And also interesting that the Charles III star, who's the first contender for a leading actor after his death, a posthumous nomination for Tim Pigott Smith, a wonderful actor, charming man, very good in the role as King Charles III.
Yeah, and also we lost the French actress. I hope I'm saying her name correctly here. You'll have to, maybe you go for it, Richard. You tell me, because I don't want to mess her name up.
Stéphane Audran, who was one of the leading lights of French cinema, together with her second husband. She was previously married to Jean-Louis Trintignant. Claude Chabrol. They made an amazing team. And films such as Just Before Nightfall, La Biche, and Blood Wedding and Le Boucher. I remember these vividly. She had a tremendous personality. The two worked so well together. She also starred in Babette's Feast, which was highly praised, and Bunuel's Discreet Charm of the Bourgeoisie, which was another favourite of mine.
Okay, so how old was she when she passed away, Richard?
She was 85.
Okay. Did she do, was it mostly French language films? Did she, I mean, she played in Italian as well, didn't she? So,
most particularly known for foreign language films, but particularly French, and particularly for her collaboration with Claude Chabrol. I mean, that was just pretty unique. It was over 20 films. 23, actually.
And it was in that golden era where it was very kind of exotic and glamorous, wasn't it, as well, these films. So, yeah, absolutely. I saw some clips earlier on. We'll move on then to something completely different now, and the new Steven Spielberg film, Ready Player One. Two films that are very interesting that we're looking at today, slightly different to what we've seen before, I think. We had that last week, and I think we've got it again this week. Ready Player One, then, Richard.
Ready Player One has Steven Spielberg in touch with his inner child, and I have to say, also, the cinema's master storyteller in very fine form. I have to also say that this is an amazing movie, but you could love it, you could hate it, or like me, you could find that it had so many good things in, including all its cultural references that are apparently over 100.
Wow.
For those who like that sort of thing. Or you could also feel that it could have done even better. I have to say that it is extraordinary. Set in 2045, many on Earth live in slums. To escape from a pretty humdrum and mundane existence, people engage in Oasis, which is a game programmed by the late James Halliday, played by Mark Rylance, its creator. And he leaves, after he dies, a key to a computer software Easter egg, a hidden message. Get three keys and you can inherit the game. And those who play for this are called Gunters. And Innovative Online Industries is a video game conglomerate, a manufacturer of virtual reality equipment. It wants to control Oasis. And particularly with this chief executive officer, Sir Moilo and Sorrento.
Richard, I'm going to cut in because we're losing quality on the line. What I'm going to do, I'm going to play some music, Richard, and then we're going to try and get a better line, if that's okay, because it's actually... I'm struggling to understand. So, and I know it's not you because you talk so eloquently. So what we'll do is we'll just play a little bit of music and I'll get you back on as quick as possible. Thanks. Yeah, sorry about that, folks. Let's see. We'll try and get Richard back on a better line there.
There's a light, certain kind of light. They never shine on me. I want my life to be lived with you, lived with you. There's a way,
there's a way.
Everybody say to do each and every little thing. What does if I ain't got you,
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 baby, you don't know.
Michael Bublé, To Love Somebody. Richard Fitzwilliams is back. Richard, let's have a go. How's that?
Oh, absolutely. That, I hope, is all right.
Yes.
We're in the story of Ready Player One, and with the three keys that's necessary to inherit this amazing Oasis game. And we meet Wade Watts, an 18-year-old Gunter. Gunters are those who want to find the key and inherit Oasis. And the interesting aspect of this is that you have an avatar, and that avatar works for you. He is you in the game, and so he partners also with a female, Samantha, but her avatar is Artemis. This is an extraordinary film. It's, putting it mildly, very, very complicated. Putting it also mildly, amazingly imaginative, the music, the sound, and the numbers of absolutely amazing cultural references in this movie, over 100 apparently, and some very good performances, it had to be said, but also I would say Spielberg does overdo it. 2 hours and 20 minutes for me could have been certainly 2 hours.
It's an iconic film. You talk about the cultural references there, and I noticed the Back to the Future reference with the car, of course, in there, which is, of course, a Steven Spielberg film. And it has got that kind of feel of... the animation is so close to reality. Sometimes your mind is playing tricks with you, or you're watching animation or something real. It's so well made. And it feels like it's going to be a big hit, Richard. It looks like it's going to go that way.
It looks as if it will, and also it's got some extraordinary scenes in it. I mean, his vehicle races. These are races across the city to get the first key. But it's very difficult to get across this cityscape because, King Kong and Godzilla could just loom up and smash the roads and so forth. You've also got a virtual Oasis library. This is within the game Oasis, where you can look back and see what James Halliday actually is doing and what clues he is giving out. The world plays this game, and if you can inherit the game, you inherit power. I do have to say, though, that you have this feeling that there is so much that's imaginative and so much that's ingenious, but climactically special effects are overused. It's such okay. a feature of yeah. Marvel movies.
Steven Spielberg, he just seems to make great films that people like and love, and you feel this will be another one, another string to his bow?
I think it will be another string to his bow, but what's interesting is you either love it or you loathe it. Quite a lot of people haven't liked it, and most people seem to have liked it. I would say also good performances. Ty Sheridan as Wade Watts, slash Powell, Avatar Parseval, and Olivia Cook as Samantha, Avatar of Optimus, and a mention to Mark Rylance as the creator who, from the grave, controls matters, and Simon Pegg as his former friend Ogden Murray. A lot of good in it, but it could have been much better and it could have had more impact.
Okay, I'm guessing a 3.
You're guessing correct.
Okay.
Fabulous colour, interesting use of music, but the facts are that Oscar Wilde once quipped, moderation is a fatal thing. Nothing succeeds like excess. Not so much. A little more simple.
Well, I think this next one may qualify then. Isle of Dogs.
Isle of Dogs does qualify because Wes Anderson is so adept at quirky, witty, zany movies, unusual movies. And, of course, he was at his best with the Grand Budapest Hotel, which established him far beyond his previous reputation, which was mainly art house. And I have to say, it's set in a dystopian future in Japan, and it's very much a homage to Japanese cinema and Japanese culture. There are those who talked of cultural appropriation. Well, all I can say is that it was one of these charming and witty films, which is certainly unusual, because this is an animated movie, and it's when a young boy goes in search of his dog. The dogs, you see, have been all banished by the mayor of Megasaki, who is called Kobayashi. He's banished all the dogs to Trash Island because of canine flu. And, well, the young boy is his ward. He loses his beloved dog, Spot, steals a plane and goes to Trash Island. And, of course, the story revolves also around the dogs. And the dogs talk to you in such cute voices, you know. You'll be enchanted.
I was trying to describe it, because I saw clips of it. I was trying to describe to Wendy earlier the style of the animation, and I was struggling to actually do that. Is it computer generated?
Well, the use of computers, obviously, I would say, but also the fact that the characters talk. They love talking to cameras, so that gives it an extra immediacy. You know, it's almost as though there was a sort of fourth wall with canines, so the dogs will describe their predicament to you. And when you've got Ed Norton as Norton as the dog's Rex, Bob Balaban as King, Jeff Goldblum as Duke, Bill Murray as Boss, and as Chief, who's a former stray dog, Brian Cranston, who's enjoying himself, helped by the female pure breed Nutmeg dog, played by or voiced by Scarlett Johansson. And they're all searching for Spot. What did happen to him? One of the things of this movie that is very amusing is that a foreign exchange student in the, the town of Megasaki, this is Tracy, played by Greta Gerwig, starts to investigate what precisely is going on, and you discover that the mayor doesn't want to help the animals. What he wants to do is to eliminate all dogs. So we've got a certain amount of cultural appropriation, some have said here, but I would say if you're helped by Greta Gerwig, who would wish for anything more?
It sounds like you quite enjoyed it, Richard, that one.
I most certainly enjoyed it, and I also recommend it because what is fun about this movie is that it's just having fun. It's not a deeply serious tract. It's there to entertain, and that is precisely what it manages to do. It's also got links to various types of Japanese films and Japanese theatre, Japanese culture, and the use of colour is highly influenced by Japan. So it seemed to me that Wes Anderson, he's a person who makes charming films, and I have to say that this has the charm that all the family will enjoy. So I think it will be a big hit, and remember that man's best friend is on the verge of being wiped out, so there's a challenge for us all to meet.
After last week and looking at this film, it's great to see some ingenuity, and that's probably not the right word, but some creativity coming in into films, and people, you know, going out on a limb a little bit and trying something different.
Very definitely. You've got two movies that are completely different. And, I mean, I have to say, if you want variety, go to the movies and see them on the big screen.
Yeah.
I think that applies more. You can see it on 3D if you want to. It's a Ready Player One. But The Isle of Dogs, it's an enchanting movie, and all the different animals, I mean, they are so cute. The last time I heard voices quite as divinely created as this was in the Jungle movie, The Jungle Book.
The Jungle Book,
with
yeah,
Walt
yeah,
Disney.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so well done with Idris Elba and Peter Jungle. Here you've got Greta Gerwig. I can picture her, you see, when she talks.
Yeah, fantastic. So ratings out of 5 for that one, Richard?
Oh, definitely 4.
Good, good. And which movies will we be talking about next week?
Next week we'll also have a couple of new movies, Wonder Struck and also the thriller Gringo.
I look forward to that. Richard Fitzwilliams, if anybody wants to find you online, your website and your Twitter account and so on.
The website is www.richardfitzwilliams.com and Twitter is @rfitzwilliams.
Richard, as always, have a great weekend and we'll speak soon. Happy viewing. Take care.